Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you today. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so let me begin our time this way, telling the story of Michael Rutherford. And so Michael Rutherford and his father, they just never really connected. They were constantly butting heads. You know, one says black, the other says white. And so, I mean, if you understood their background, it makes sense that Michael Rutherford, his father, was actually a member of the Navy, the British Navy, and actually fought in World War One. And so he's very buttoned up kind of guy. And then conversely, his son Michael was an artist, a musician, you know. And so you can imagine too, being surviving World War One, but seeing all the atrocities. Like Michael's father, he just kind of tended to emotionally just kind of wall off, having seen some things that horrific from World War One. And so he was unable to connect with his son emotionally. And you can imagine that as the time progressed in their life, this chasm of the distance between the two grew more and more and more. And so, but simultaneously, Michael's music career was really taking off. He actually became a part of a band I'm sure you're familiar with. It's the band Genesis with Phil Collins. And so as the band was touring in the United States, Michael got a call at 3 a.m. How many know if you receive a call at 3 a.m., it's never good news? And it wasn't. And Michael got the devastating news that his dad had passed away. And so it was this kind of this moment where Michael suddenly had all these kind of loose ends in his relationship with his father, these unhad conversations. And now what? It just seemed like, well, there was no closure. And so, but here's what took place. A year later, after his father's death, Michael finally was able to take all his angst about the loss of his father and put it to music. And he wrote this song, and I think you'll find it familiar, and the lyrics somewhat haunting. Check it out. Like bring new life to that song as you roll through the lyrics. And these lyrics jumped out at me as he says that about his father, "I think I caught his spirit later that same year." If I could give you the backstory to that, is when Michael went home to put together his father's estate, he ran into and found something he never knew his father had done. His father had written a memoir about his life, just as his father's father had done the same. But this time, Michael's father was unable to get his memoirs published. And so as he found these books that Michael was just fascinating reading about the life of his father. In fact, in an interview, he said this. He says that now me, my father and I, we are having conversations I missed out on when he was alive. He said, I get to see a different side of my father came through on the paper. And that here's the money line for me. He said this. He says, my dad's book was the best legacy he could ever have left for me. And so this is what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about your father's book. Your father's book. You know, we're in a series we just called The Longest Game, Winning in Life, and we're going chapter by chapter through this book, and in chapter 5, it goes through, it's just called Game Plan, or the Bible. It's your Father's book, and so I want to talk to you about your Father's book here today. And so I'm sure you'll be familiar with this. Like in these iconic epic sports movies, there's all these moments where the coach strolls in and there's these big speeches that just, man, make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Like Churchill would be envious of these pump-up speeches. And so you could see it if maybe Remember the Titans and Denzel Washington, or on any given Sunday with Al Pacino. Or maybe you're not the athletics person, but you know, there's the pump-up speech before battle. Like we get Gladiator. What does he say? The things we do today will echo into eternity, right? And everyone loses their mind. Or my personal favorite, man, is the Braveheart pump-up speech. Is there anything better? Sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace, right? And then they go lose their mind and kind of beat the Brits. And so, but listen, let me tell you, after a 14-year NHL hockey career, I have yet to hear that speech in a locker room, all right? I have heard some speeches, none of them probably that I, is this an appropriate venue for it, but I'll give you a couple. As I remember my rookie season, the coach was Jack Tex Evans was his name, and beautiful man. However, he was nominated for Coach of the Year the year prior, and so I'm so excited to hear his pump-up speech. And I'll just never forget how Coach Evans, he walks into the room, looks at us, let's go, boys, and then kept walking out onto the arena. I was like, that's the pump-up speech? Come on, man, you know? And then fast forward the last year of my career, we had a coach, Kurt Frazier, amazing guy, but a foul mouth. And so Coach Frazier, I remember one time he came in, he's got the pump-up speech, and I'm sitting next to our captain, Ray Ferraro, and Fraz just goes off on this, you effing this, we got to effing this, effing that. Like, he could use the F-bomb as an adverb, adjective, proper noun. It didn't matter, man. He could just use it all. And finally, he finished his speech, and then Ray Ferraro looked over me, and he just said, 23. And I'm like, 23 what? He goes, 23 F-bombs. And then we went out and proceeded to lose another hockey game, all right? And so that was kind of our epic pump-up speech. But you know, one of the most iconic talks ever given is found in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It's Jesus' longest recorded discourse. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to read the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of the crescendo that Jesus does. He's going to summarize everything he's just said. And this is the most important thing, the takeaway from his speech, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so here's what, if I can just kind of paraphrase what Jesus is saying as we're talking about winning in life, man, I want you to win. And there's certain non-negotiables if you want to win in life. And one of them is, man, the Word of God. And Jesus says what? That you need to hear and do. Hear and do. And if you're able to do that, man, you will win in life. Anything life throws at you, it will not rock your world. It'll see you through. And so are you a hear and do person? And so as we talk about like hearing the Word of God, like you got to get it on the inside of you. Many of you know the celebrity, and he's kind of a comedian, political strategist kind of guy, is Bill Maher, if you've heard of him. And so Bill Maher is not only a comedian, but he also is kind of antagonistic towards the Christian faith. And he said this of Christians. He says, most Christians treat the Bible like you do a software update on your phone, right? You have all the terms and conditions. You don't read any of it. You just scroll to the bottom and say, I agree, right? And that's many Christians. Christians that they never read their Bible. They just say, well, I agree with it, right? And they have no idea what it says. Unfortunately, I tend to agree that what he says is true. And so the prophet Hosea will say it a little bit different. In Hosea 4:6, he says this, that my people, they're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, man, the Bible, the Word of God, it is our game plan for winning. It's a non-negotiable to win in the Christian life. And so I love a friend of mine is Pastor Tim DeLena. He pastors a Times Square church in Manhattan. And Pastor Tim, he tells the story. He actually flew over to Seoul, Korea, where there he was headed to Prayer Mountain. And if you're not familiar with this, it's unbelievable. Man, it's this the mountain where 24-hour prayer is going on with no less than 12,000 people continually and constantly rotating through in prayer. 12,000 people. And so as Pastor Tim, he's riding over on a bus to Prayer Mountain, and as he is, there's a Korean pastor sitting next to him who spoke English, and so they're conversing back and forth, and so Korean pastor was saying how once a month he goes to Prayer Mountain and he prays for 24 hours straight, and Tim was kind of broke, you know, stepping back by his piety, and then he says, well, tell me about your Bible reading. How are you with your Bible time? And the Korean pastor looked down at shame and he said, you have to pray for me. He goes, I'm not very good. I only read my Bible once a month. And then he clarified, he reads the entire Bible once a month. Genesis to Revelation. And so the pastor inquired to Pastor Tim. He's like, well, how often do you read? And he goes, this is not a conversation about me. All right, we're talking about you. And so, but you can see why there's so much power on someone's life. Why? Because they're in the Word of God. It's a non-negotiable to win in the Christian life. In fact, I think so many Christians live powerless lives because they lack the one offensive tool that God gives us. Do you know in Ephesians chapter 6, it says this about the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. In other words, it is the only offensive weapon we get in our faith. And none of us, many of us don't have a sword. And so I actually literally do have a sword. If I was a good pastor, I would have brought it here and showed it to you, but apparently I'm failing in that. But we had a men's group in Manhattan, and each guy was given this amazing samurai sword, right? It's pretty cool, but it's massive. And you take that thing out, and it just shimmers in the light. But it's kind of scary, man. And here's what I know for a fact. I can't go to the grocery store with my samurai sword. I can't go through customs or fly in an airplane with my samurai sword. In fact, if I were near you holding a samurai sword, you'd be like, man, this dude is a little bit weird, or what? I would be deemed a threat or dangerous. Do you know that's what you are when you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God on the inside of you? You're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You become dangerous. And so if you remember Jesus, he's tempted and tested by the devil. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and now he's confronted with our adversary, the devil. And how does he combat the devil? With this simple words coming out of his mouth, it is written. And each time Jesus would quote the book of Deuteronomy, and with each time the spoken word came out, it was a blow to the enemy, right? And so do you have the Word of God on the inside of you? Or do you hear and do? Like I still remember when I was 16 years old, I moved away from home and to try and make it in hockey, and I moved up to Canada. And there my mom, she gave me my first Bible. And I still have it to this day. Once again, if I was a good pastor, I would have brought it and shown you. but I have this Bible my mom gave me. And you know what's amazing is when I moved away, I made this covenant before God and myself. I said, Lord, I'm going to read one chapter a day for the rest of my life. And you know, on average, they say it could take anywhere between 5 to 15 minutes, depending on how fast you read and the length of the chapter. But listen, you have 5 to 15 minutes that you can find to get the Word of God on the inside of you. It's a non-negotiable. And I promise you, for me, like there were nights that I would go out partying, not living like a Christian, come back intoxicated, and yet I would still open up the book and read one chapter. Can I be honest with you? Most of the time when I read my one chapter, there'd be moments I'm just like, I don't understand what it's saying, right? That was weird. And just close the book. Here's what was taking place though. The word was getting in on the inside of me. It was changing me on the inside out. In fact, do you know that Lifeway Research has done, they just call it the power of four. And here's what that means is the research has shown us that if you'll read your Bible 1 to 3 times a week, guess what? There's very little, if any, change in your life. But if you can go that fourth day, if you can read your Bible for 4 days, on the fourth day, all the metrics and the data skyrocket. In fact, let me show you the power of four, reading your Bible 4 times a week. It says this, they found that feelings of loneliness dropped by 30%. Anger issues drop by 32%. Bitterness in relationships drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Sharing your faith jumps up 200%. And discipling others jumps 230%. Like, it just blows through the roof. If you'll take the time, man, to read the Word of God at least 4 times a week. And so the reason for that, as you get the Word on the inside of you, as you hear, here's what happens. The Bible says that the Word, it's living. Let me read to you in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." I'll go on one more, Romans 10, 17. It says, "So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." See how that, man, how important it is to be hearers of the Word of God, that it actually produces faith on the inside. And we know this, that faith, it pleases God. And so it's a non-negotiable if you want to win in the Christian life. And so I know many of you, I can already hear your internal Johnny Cochran, right? Or your kind of, you can't handle the truth, right? You have all these defenses and these excuses and these reasons why you just can't do it. Let me just do it. Like, one of them, you're just like, oh, I just don't have time to read the Bible. And that is objectively not true. You have all the time there is. We're all given 24 hours in a day. It's how you choose to use that time. And here's what I promise you. You will never find time to read the Bible. But you know what you can do? You can make time to read the Bible. Let me tell you another one. I can hear some of you. So you're just like, hey, I just don't understand the Bible, okay? I just can't kind of understand. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, I got news to you. Listen, you're not a victim. Figure it out. So listen, there was a time when you didn't understand how to drive a car. But guess what? You figured it out, or else you're walking to church today, okay? Here's another one, man. You didn't know how to eat with utensils. You didn't know how to tie your shoe. You didn't know your ABCs, and you didn't know basic math. But you know what? You weren't a victim. You figured it out along the way. And I got news for you. Man, the Bible is applicable and practical, and you could understand it. You just got to jump into it, okay? Figure it out. And then here's another one. I don't like to read. I don't like to read. But let me ask you this. You might not like to read, but do you like to win? Because if you want to win in the game of life, you got to get the book on the inside of you. And it's never been more easy. Like, say, if you don't like to read, then let your iPad read to you. There's apps and websites that you can go to, man, where you can have the Word of God actually read to you. Put those earbuds in there, and while you're running on the treadmill or doing the bike or doing whatever you do, man, have the Word of God playing over and over. I'll give you another one, too, is I highly recommend anything that the Bible Project does. You just Google Bible Project, and said it's unbelievable. It has these little cartoons that illustrate all that's taking place in the books of the Bible. It's unbelievably informative and powerful, and so I would commend that to you. Hear and do. And so that's the second part of it. We're not just hearers of the Word, but we're doers as well. And so we need to do the Word of God. We need to live it if you want to win in life. So I'll share the story. I shared it in the book. that in 1994, the New Jersey Devils of the National Hockey League, they had a very mediocre regular season. Nothing special, nothing spectacular. You know, they kind of made the playoffs. Conversely, the Detroit Red Wings blew away the league. They ran away with the President's Trophy, the best record in all of the NHL. But what happened was the New Jersey Devils, when the playoffs started, for some strange reason, they just got on this roll. And suddenly they became like unbeatable. And then, sure enough, the New Jersey Devils met the Detroit Red Wings in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. And so many of the prognosticators, they thought, oh, surely it's going to be a sweep. It was a sweep by the New Jersey Devils. They shocked the NHL world and swept the regular season champions 4-0. I went to the first game of that series in Detroit. I hit up my buddy Bobby Hollick, who played for the Devils at that time. Hey, man, can you get me some free tickets? Right. And so we went to the game, and I talked to Bobby afterwards, and I asked him this question. I'm like, bro, you guys were just mediocre during the season. How suddenly are you guys invincible? And he just said something so basic. He said this: Adam, we listen to the coach, we follow his game plan, and we win. He says, it's just that simple. He was almost embarrassed about it. And you know what? As I think about that today, man, it's the greatest advice I could ever give to you as a pastor. Man, listen to the coach, follow his game plan, the word of God, and you're going to win. You're going to win in your life. The word of God, and I've said this a bajillion times throughout my time as a pastor, that the commands of God, the word of God, about leading you into a life that flourishes, into human flourishing. And if you don't believe me, just do the opposite of the Ten Commandments, right? So I want you to lie, to steal, commit adultery, right? Murder. And then in a month from now, let's get back together and let me see how your life is going, right? If you're not incarcerated, divorced, right, dead, right? Why? Because the commands of God are not trying to withhold from you. They're trying to lead you into the best life possible. In fact, you know, there's a renowned atheist, Richard Dawkins. He wrote The God Delusion. But get this, he had mocked Christianity for decades until he recently just came out and he declared himself a Christian, a cultural Christian. In other words, he doesn't believe in Christ. He doesn't believe there's a God, but he believes in what Christianity has to offer a society. He says it's the best way to live, right? And so I tend to agree with him on that point. And so we people that we hear and we do. We hear and we do the word of God. And so I think it's not enough just to read it, but when you open up the book has to read you. I'll say it this way you know, in my house, I'm a daddy of daughters, so I have my wife, 2 daughters, and so, man, in my home, there was always a lot of estrogen, and so to balance it out, I had to get 2 male golden retrievers, you know, just to kind of even that mug out. But listen, I've really been able to observe some differences between men and women, you know, just throughout my lifetime with my daughters and my wife. And so, and one thing I noticed, that, do you know, that my wife and my daughters, they approach a mirror differently than I do as a man. Here's what I know, man. My girls could be looking drop dead gorgeous, but when they get in front of that mirror, something's going to change, right? They're going to dial up something or move something or whatever, you know. But yet, when a dude goes to the mirror, what does he do? It's good enough. It's good enough. Nothing changes. And so we need to approach the scriptures, man, like a woman approaches a mirror. Like when we open up the book, man, something has got to change. And so we need to apply what the Bible says to our life. We hear and we do. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. It says this, that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, or that word is mature, equipped for every good work. And so here's what we know is, like your process of maturity from an infant to an adult, what happened? Is there is constantly people in your life speaking words over you. Hey, don't do it like that. Do it like this. Not like that, like this. And so that the word of God, it trains us in righteousness. It actually helps us to mature in our walk with God. And so I'll illustrate it this way. Let's have a moment of fun, okay? So we have an image here. This is Cassie and Lizzie. So they're dressed up. It's Lizzie's birthday, and so she's dressed up as Ariel, and Cassie in the background, she's got her Jasmine outfit on, and so it's kind of adorable, right? But it's cute when they're three. It's not as cute when they're 33. And so if my daughter was to come to church today at 33 and she's rocking her Jasmine costume on, you're going to be like, something is wrong with that young lady, right? And so somewhere along the line, we had to say, oh, man, grown-ups, baby, they don't wear that, okay? And the same way, the word of God, it'll press on you. Not like that, like this. We got another one here. This is my youngest daughter, Lizzie, eating pudding, right? It looks like a food grenade went off. Just kind of food all over the place. Once again, cute when she's three, not cute when she's 33, right? That somewhere along the line, she had to mature and learn how to eat. Let me give you one more for good measure. This is my daughter, Cassie. And so she's in, got a hold of mom's lipstick, right? And so she's just got that mug all over the place. And here's what I promise you. If you came into our church and sat next to my daughter now, who's in her 30s, and she had her makeup done like that, you're going to be like, something is wrong with this woman. You probably wouldn't sit next to her, right? Why? Because mature adults don't do that, right? And that is what the Bible does. It's here to press on us, to grow us, to train us, in righteousness. It's for correction and reproof in your life. Hey, not like that, but do it like this, okay? It leads us and trains us in righteousness. And the reality is, man, if you are still a Christian and you've been a Christian for years and yet you're still living like a spiritual three-year-old, there's something wrong with that, right? And you need to allow the word of God to press on you, to train you in righteousness. And so we're hear and do people. But it says this, the promise that Jesus gives us, if we'll hear and do the word of God, will become unshakable and unbreakable. It says that person that hears and does the word of God, it's like they built their home on a rock. And it doesn't matter what life throws at you, it will not be shaken and it will not break. I love what someone said, I can't remember exactly, but they said that man, the word of God, it's like a nail, that the harder you hit it, the deeper it goes. And I think it's true. In fact, for years, there's been skeptics and scholars trying to disprove just the myth of the Bible, right? You get people like Lee Strobel, who is an investigative reporter. You get Josh McDowell, or you get C.S. Lewis. These scholars, they want to disprove the scriptures. And what happened? As they pressed against it, what it pressed back on them, and they became a Christian, right? In fact, they became some of the greatest advocates for the Christian faith and for our Bible. Let me give you another one. So Voltaire, he was a French philosopher and atheist, and he very arrogantly said this, I'll quote, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible in the earth except one that is locked up upon an antiquarian curiosity seeker. And so can I just tell you something? 100 years after Voltaire said that, Voltaire was dead, and the Geneva Bible Society bought his home and used it to print Bibles and to send out around the world, okay? Swing and a miss, Voltaire, right? The word of God, man, it's like a nail. You try and press it against it, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Let me give you one more. There's a guy, Sir William Ramsay. He was a renowned scholar and archaeologist, okay? That's tough to say this morning. But here's what he did, is he set out on a mission to disprove the works of Luke in your Bible. The Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts kind of gives the history of the church, and he's going to prove that it was just all a myth. And what happened? As he went on all his archaeological digs, one by one, it proved again and again and again the veracity of your Bible, that it's true, it's historical fact. In fact, the evidence was so overwhelming for Ramsay that he too became a Christian after that. See, I want to tell you this. Man, there's no other book on the planet like the Bible. There's nothing that can compare to it. It's living. It's active. It has the power to change your life. And so I'll end our time today with this. And so I made it a point, like, whenever I traveled in the NHL, I always kept my Bible with me. And so the guys all kind of knew it. They made fun of me here and there or whatever. That's what guys do. We make fun of each other, and it's how we show love and affection. But I remember I was playing for Team USA, and we were on our way to the medal round. And as we were riding the bus, the players were really nervous on the way over. And so our captain, a guy by the name of Ed Olchek, and Eddie Olchek, he yells up to me. He's like, "Hey, Ads! We need you to read one of those psalms," because you know I had my Bible with me. I'm like, it's a psalm, okay, you know. But so we giggle about that. But then I remember one time I was carrying my Bible on a plane, and as I walked past one of my teammates, Al Peterson, he says to me, "Ads, haven't you finished reading that book yet?" And listen, it's kind of funny that he would say that, but you know the reality is this: no, man, you never finish reading the book. Because it's continually and constantly, it's living and active on the inside. It's continuing to work on the inside of me. It's continuing to train me and produce fruit in my life. I'm never going to stop reading the Word of God. And I want you to read the Word of God. It's a non-negotiable if you're going to win in life. And I want you to win. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time that we spent in your Word. And Lord, I pray, God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray for those humble hearts that genuinely, Lord, want to know more. They want to read the Bible. Lord, would you ignite a fire in their heart? God, may you put a spark, a deep hunger in their soul, Lord, for the Word of God. And I do pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, come on, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.